All right, look with me, please, in Luke chapter 1, and I will begin reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That has not yet happened. That hasn't happened. He was born in a barn. Geographically, most of you know, and I'm sure Miss Beverly does, probably a hollowed out place in the mountain that we would call a cave. So it wouldn't look like a beautiful, it was probably worse than some of the barns you and I know about. You're not going to get a lot of ventilation, somebody help me right there, in a cave. So, and then suffered a cruel death. He has not yet received the throne of his father David, but he's going to. And you and I, Gentile dogs, will be there to crown him King of Kings. Amen. And the Jews that are born again know that he has made us both one in Christ. So there won't be any racial tension. There won't be any division there. But there couldn't be if anybody wanted there to be, because he made us one. He birthed us into the family, and we get to be there, okay? That'd be like, and I have no interest in the pomp and circumstance of Great Britain and the so-called royal family, okay? You need to up your game if you're going to be called the royal family. Say amen right there. That being said, this is the equivalent of a redneck, okay, from these parts, being invited to a state dinner at the White House or Buckingham Palace, okay? And, boy, that is the grace of God. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her. How about reading those next four words with me? Who was called barren. How about reading 37 with me, please? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Got a question for you. You can nod, smile, wave your hand, or just answer in your head. How many of you are facing an impossible situation? Is it safe to say most of us on any given Sunday have situations, job, family, health, right? Have I hit the big three? Just humanly speaking, they're impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? You say, preacher, explain that. Don't have to. Furthermore, I can't. It's up to him. Verse 38, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That'll be where I'll stop my text. Now, I did that to lay a groundwork and a foundation. My message is going to come in my Bible from the next page, verses 45 and following. So look over there at those verses. What happens in between 38 and 45 is Mary and Elizabeth and John the Baptist have a testimony service. Okay? They all get happy. John starts doing cartwheels in his mother's womb. And then Elizabeth gets full of the Holy Ghost and starts testifying with a loud voice. Say amen right there. Don't let a loud voice scare you. Everybody gets loud about anything and everything but Jesus. Okay, so don't let a loud voice scare you. And so that's what happens. And then Mary launches into her testimony. And that's where we're going to take the message from. I preached Wednesday on the character of Joseph. Have I told you enough background and introduction for you to figure out this morning's message? It's the character of Mary. And I am bad about preaching my heart out and preaching my brains out and forgetting to give you the punchline, if you'll let me say it that way. We're not telling jokes here, okay? I'm bad, I feel like, about not telling, you know, about not saying, okay, I said all that to say this. Here's what you need to do with it. I try to do it, but I feel like a lot of times when I get home and look back over the message and replay it in my mind, I'm like, wow, I gave them all those verses and all those points and all those applications, but I didn't draw the net, okay? I'm not saying that to make you feel sorry for me. I'm telling you what I want to do right now is tell you at the beginning, and hopefully I'll remember at the end why we're doing all this. We need some men and women of character. It's just that simple as our culture. Now, sadly, and I've said all this, I said a lot of this Wednesday, and I say it often, there used to be a time in America when character was a little more normal. Sin's always been sin. People have always committed adultery and tried to do shady business deals. But there is a Judeo-Christian heritage in this country that sustained us for many, many generations. Miss Beverly was thanking the Lord for being born in this part of the country. Most of us, as recently as our grandparents, some of us as recently as parents, honestly, no exaggeration, remember a day when a man's word was his bond. And you could seal a deal with a handshake. Now, nobody, please tell me after church if you agree with me, nobody in this room thinks you can seal a deal with a handshake today. When we closed on that house we're living in now, I'm sure y'all did this a few months ago, the stack of paper, how many hours were we there? 3, 4? If a man's word was his bond, you wouldn't have to sign 4 hours of documents to get a house. And y'all know the silly things that you sign and they notarize and all of that foolishness. That just tells you the culture that we're in. So here we are in this day, and I'm preaching on Joseph Wednesday night, Mary this morning, because again, like I said on Wednesday night, I want Progress Baptist Church and the families and the ministry here, the Sunday school classes, the services, I want to raise a generation of men and women with character. I fully believe the Lord is coming back sooner rather than later. I fully believe it could be today. I am also living as though it could be 100 years. That's why I pray for my children and my grandchildren. That's why I do my best to pour my life into the ministry of the Lord through Progress Baptist Church. Is because we don't know. If I have shared this with you, forgive me. I don't think I have. I think I've shared it with a couple friends. I preached on the coming of the Lord at Tabernacle during, I think, Share-a-thon. A missionary's wife messaged us that very afternoon and said, thank you. She said, some of what we do here that's called ministry seems so temporal to me. But it's stuff that has to be done if you're going to get to the eternal, right? And she said, I struggle with that because she said, being a couple thousand miles away and watching what's going on in the States and around the world, she said, we're just thoroughly convinced it's going to be any minute. She said, and that makes some of what we do feel very mundane and unimportant. She said, but when you said, live as though it could be 100 years, work like it could be today. Okay, and I've heard it said a couple different ways. She said, that just settled my heart and reminded me that what we're doing does matter for eternity. And sometimes that means digging an irrigation canal. Right? And I think anybody with a heart for God has struggled with some of that. How does driving this oil truck fit into God's big scheme of things? Well, here's what Ecclesiastes said. What your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Here's what your Bible says. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That doesn't mean a grumpy boss. It means menial. It means low, ranking, insignificant. It means if you'll work hard, God's going to promote you. You follow me? That's what it means. That means the devil won't fight, but it does mean God's going to use you. Okay? When I hear of one of our people being promoted, either literally promoted or God blessing their business and their industriousness, it thrills me. It thrills me. And I want our young people, again, that's the reason I'm preaching on Joseph and Mary and their character. Caleb, when Joseph was 12, he did not know God was going to have him be the earthly father to his son. But when he was 12, he was behaving and listening and learning in such a way that equipped him to be the earthly representative who raised God's son. Everybody in here goes, well, if I've got an email and said, you work hard in school, you learn how to listen in school, you learn how to finish the job and don't leave it at 90%. You follow me? Was God going to make any man the earthly father to his son who did every job 90%? No. You're going, well, you know, we've already missed out on that. We're not going to get to raise God's only son. Oh, but as a representative of God in this world, he's looking for people who will finish the job. Can a man go to fill in the blank country and be a church planter if he doesn't know how to finish the job? I'm saying to our youth, our young families, our young parents, I'm saying to all of us, whatever really stage of life we're in, these things matter. Let me help you. Miss Laura's still got children in the home, homeschooling. Silas, say amen right there. Okay. Finish your paces. Don't cheat. Don't get the key and cheat. I preached that at Little Ivy several years ago. A pastor's son fell out in the floor laughing. A grown man, an adult, fell out in the floor laughing. The laugh of guilt. Can I tell you, in the last 7 years, his character has proven out that he didn't just cheat in school. You say, Preacher Ains, you're getting on my toes. I cheated in school. Confess it, forsake it, get right with God. God is using men and women of character. Okay? You want to go somewhere? Be a man of character. Don't hang out with losers. I counsel young people. Ms. Ryan, I messed up. I messed up. Okay. God's good. He's merciful. We'll get through this. Who were you with? And they'd tell me. What were y'all listening to? And they'd tell me. Where were you going? And they'd tell me. Sometimes I was Christ-like, and other times I'd go, what did you think was going to happen? Do you think revival was going to break out? You were with them, you were listening to this, you were watching this, and y'all were going here. Add this, and this up, and here's the sum. You say, Preacher, I've made some stupid things. We could have stupid hour right now. And we'd all have a contribution. Okay? These saintly, white-haired, dignified, classy ladies we got around here, they could all stand up and say, I did this and it was so stupid. Please don't do that. Okay, so we've all been there, done that. I need a real good amen. But that don't mean we keep repeating it. When you do it, learn from it. That kicks the devil in the teeth. Y'all with me? Okay, let's get to the message. Who's ready to get to the message? Okay, verse 45. And blessed, okay, Elizabeth is still testifying here. Blessed is she that believed, not a trick question. Who's she talking about? There we go. Wow. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If anybody's looking for a life verse, there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. That'd be a good place to start. When God tells you something from His Word through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. You've got His Word. You can build your life upon it. And I would encourage you to do that. Okay? So hold that place and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Turn back, please, to Luke chapter 1. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her, Mary, from the Lord. Why? She believed Him. Mary didn't make street signs and walk the streets going, I'm a virgin. This is God. No, she just believed Him. You don't have to defend every decision if you are walking in obedience to God. Learn to obey Him. Learn to listen to Him. There's one or two songs that some of the trios in different groups sing. I know His voice. I know His voice. Church, get in the Word. And if a super ambitious goal that could be 45 minutes to an hour a day is not in line for you right now, could I say something? 10 minutes a day? If you're not consistent in the Word, 10 minutes a day is a huge step. Learn to get in the Word. Learn to listen to His voice. So number one, Mary's faith. I want to ask you, how's your faith? Let me tell you what will strengthen your faith. The very thing you're striving to obey, when you read it and when you listen to His voice, it feeds the very faith you need to obey it. I can't understand it, but let me illustrate it in this way. If you were struggling with an impossible situation and you read 6 verses from Luke chapter 1 this morning, and you came across, you knew it was there, but you didn't know where it was, that sort of thing. You came across the verse, for with God nothing shall be impossible. How many words is that? 7. Imagine that, okay? Preacher Raines would preach a message on that anytime he found the number 7. If you're struggling with an impossible situation and you said, man, it's the Lord's birthday weekend. I want to read. I know the preacher's been in Matthew and Luke. Let me just read a handful of verses. And you came across that phrase, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Thank you. Does that help anybody? Why? It's not, Micah, a plaque at Hobby Lobby. Now, if they put that on a plaque, God bless him. I'm not talking about plaques of cute little sayings at Hobby Lobby or the garden center. I am talking about God's inspired Word. And it is powerful. I love quotes. I love to read after great men and great women. Who's your favorite? Elizabeth Elliot. I wish she could out-preach most men. And she's low and dull and boring and hard to listen to. And if you're sleepy when you turn her on, she'll hypnotize you. But, buddy, she's got more oomph behind it than half the men Somebody say amen so I don't have to finish that statement. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You say, Brother Raines, I'm struggling in the area of faith. Here's going to be your pastor's first question. How much of God's Word are you getting every day? I'll illustrate it this way. You can be in Numbers where every tribe is bringing bowls and spoons and tent pegs and you name it. Don't get upset at me. This is my flesh talking, not my spiritual man. My flesh wants to go, give us that list. And say Gad and Asher and Naphtali and Simeon and Levi, they all brought the same thing. That's my flesh. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. God said, and from the tribe of Gad, 8 spoons, 3 napkins, 4 tent pegs, just on and on and on and on and on. Please, but if you're upset at me, just pray for me. Just pray for me. You say, Brother Raines, I just skip over those. Don't do it. I was reading it one day, and I was struggling with something that didn't really matter, Brother Brian Mumper, to anybody but me. And I got to the end of that long list. They all brought the same number of spoons. And I got to the end of that list, and God said, I really cared about all that. That's why I had him do it. That's why I had him write it down for you to read 5,000 years later. And he said, don't you think I'm interested in what's bothering you? What would Renee testify about last week? An oven? I told you about the lady in my church. God healed her alarm clock. And we don't major on that. But let me tell you something. If you're drowning in despair and get reminded that God let somebody's oven work for just the number of hours they needed to feed a family that was discouraged, if you didn't get anything out of my messages last week, you got something from being reminded God cares about ovens and alarm clocks. Are y'all with me? Read His Word. It will strengthen you even when you don't know it is. Did your mama ever say, eat it? Help me. It's good for you. Bless His holy name. This will feed you when you don't even know what you're getting out of it. While I'm at it, hide some of it in your heart. We know ball scores. We know the bowl schedule. You name it. We've got, I just have a hard time memorizing. Oh, no. And I get it. It's harder now than it was 20 years ago. Somebody help me right there. I get it. But let me tell you something. Hide it in your heart. Amen. 45, her faith. Wow. Verse 47. Are you back in Luke number 1? Luke chapter number 1, let's look at verse 47. We just studied Mary's what? There we go. 45 was her faith. She believed God. One of our young people talked to me Wednesday, and they said, I don't understand this. I said, guess what? I don't either. They went. I said, I believe it. I don't understand electricity. I'm not trying to act dumb to impress you. How I can flip a switch in the woods and everything lights up is beyond me. I don't know where it comes from. And when the power goes out and the generator kicks on and we don't miss a beat, that really blows my mind. No pun intended. That don't keep me from using it. That don't keep me from taking a hot shower and saying, thank you, Jesus. God asks us to believe Him. We walk by, not by sight. Oh my. 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I got to remind all of you young people, Mary was a young lady here. She didn't let all the old people do the shouting. She just loved Jesus. And my spirit hath rejoiced. I looked rejoiced up. Y'all want to know what it means? To jump for joy. Here is, in all likelihood, a teenage young lady understanding that all of this journey is not going to be pleasant. And she said, but God gave me a word and I'm going to go with it. And the Bible says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Number one was her faith. Number two was her joy. Look at the verse. I've already said it two times, maybe three. What is she rejoicing in? God. Don't rejoice in a ball team, because they'll have an off year and let you down. Don't rejoice in your job. Oh, man, Preacher Raines, man, I am set. You have no idea. We have got orders. I talked to a cabinet maker the other day. He said we had to stop taking orders because we were out so far. What looks like it is out so far today could be upside down tomorrow. Do I need to remind anybody of the mental state of mind we were in 22 months ago when everything looked like it was about to go belly up and probably would have had the government not cranked up the printing presses? Does 08 ring any bells? I was 08, been married 24 years at that point. Children all in the home, education, all kinds of needs there in the family. And, buddy, in the matter of about 72 hours, this nation and if the ripple effect, the world's economy did this. Okay? Don't put your stock, don't put your confidence in an economy, in a job. Don't put it in your ability to do a certain kind of work. You could lose that on the way home today. Went in a place of business recently. I'm not making fun. There was a lady in the bakery working with one hand, and this one was like this. In all likelihood, I don't know, could have been born with it. It looked like stroke repercussions. So don't put your... Rejoice in God. Don't put your hope in your family. Don't put your hope in your finances. Don't put your hope in your intellect or your physical strength. Put your hope in God. Number one was her faith. Number two was her joy. I want to say to you young people, you young adults, you young families, let me tell you something. Your generation is looking for somebody who's got something eternal to live for. I know what I'm talking about. I've talked to them. I've listened to them. I read about the generation that I'm living in, and they are looking for something that will last. Look in verse number 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. There's three words in that verse that tell you the next character trait that I want you to notice. Low estate and handmaiden. But the third thing that I want you to get about Mary, and I'm not just preaching to the ladies. I didn't just preach to the men Wednesday. I'm not just preaching to the ladies. I'm preaching to all of us. Number three, low estate and handmaiden, her humility. And if you'll look up low estate, you want to know what it means? Humiliation. Obviously the same root word as humility. Is that not lacking in our culture today? And I don't mean some false, put yourself down, woe is me, I'm not good for anything. I'm not talking about some trying to get attention plan. But I am saying to acknowledge that He is everything and that without Him you're nothing. She's just been told she is going to carry God's Son in her womb. And the first thing out of her mouth is, my low estate. He has regarded my low estate. Thank you, Brother Derek, for leading us in. He lifted me. Remember, what's all encompassed in that phrase, He lifted me? A, you couldn't do it. B, you were lower than Him and needed, lifted out. That's what David wrote about in Psalm 40. Remind yourself of where you were. And let's say you were raised in the godliest home imaginable. You don't have to go very far in your family tree to know when it wasn't that way. And every one of us would do well to be manifesting humility. Let me close with 50 to 53. I'm going to read them. I want to see if you pick up on what the Lord showed me. 50, 51, 52, 53. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm, scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree, filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. I've preached on it several times this year. Brother Billy, the frustration we experience when we suffer and when seemingly ungodly people receive good. There are a ton of people in the Bible who struggle with the same thing. There's some that are just real obvious. There's others, if you'll just be careful when you're reading those prophets, if you'll listen to some of the questions they asked God, they were struggling with, why am I struggling more than the heathen down the road? Look at 50 to 53 again, and I called the word confidence. Miss Amy hears her confidence. God is going to do right. And the high, the lofty, the proud, the arrogant, they will one day receive their due. And those that are humble are going to be exalted. His confidence. It's one thing to be confident when you get a promotion. It's another thing to be confident when you did what the Lord told you to do and things get worse instead of better. That's where faith and confidence has got to kick in. I went to a man one day and I said, this is what God has put on my heart that I'm supposed to do. He went, ooh. I said, this has been a lengthy process of prayer and seeking the face of God. My wife has helped me pray. I said, I am so confident this is what God wants me to do. I am willing to crawl back on my hands and knees in 2 years and say I was wrong. And I said, that sounds like a backdoor way of saying, I'm confident this is what God's told me to do. He said, no, I get it. Brother said, in my heart of hearts, I knew if I didn't take that step, I would be disobedient. And I said, I'm willing to crawl back on my hands and knees, stand before the church and say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. But it was a mistake of the head, not the heart. Because this is what God's put on my heart to do. Brother Brian, I hope checks have just been coming in the mail and you're taking us all out to eat tomorrow. He laughed. Okay, apparently that ain't happening. Come to my house and I'll feed you. I hope everything's just going wonderful in God's honor and your obedience. But in that situation where I said I'm willing to come back and admit I was wrong, it got worse before it got better. Right, honey? Way worse. She's the sweetest woman I ever met in my life, her and my mama. She said, Micah, here's not accusing, not ugly, not mean. She said, are you sure about this? She said, I thought God honored faith. I didn't know it was going to get worse. I said, honey, I'm sure. She said, okay, I'll trust you. It went down another step. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I figured you did. We're Americans, right? Every illustration in our life is the bank account. She came to me that same time. Are you still sure? I said, honey, I'll die sure. She's like, well, that's coming. Have you been to the cabinet lately? And just in the absolute nick of time, God intervened and showed Himself strong in our behalf. Now, it was still a journey after that. And I didn't. Can I just be real? Very, very real? I didn't handle it the way she hoped I would. I didn't take some of the steps. But for me, and we're on the same page. I'm wanting you to know when you as husbands and wives disagree, that's okay. But I said, honey, I said all I know to ask you to do is to trust me that I'm doing what he told me to do. At the end, God showed that he was in control of the whole thing. And I'm asking you young men, I'm asking you young people, you young adults, I'm asking you to build your life with an unshakable confidence that you can build it on God's word. You can do what he has asked you to do. You can do what he's told you to do. You say, Brother Ains, I'm not so sure. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Mary did. She was a woman, a young woman, a young girl. Tradition, history, all affirm the fact, in all likelihood, mid-teens. A woman of faith, a woman of joy, a woman of humility, and a woman of confidence. That in the end, God wins. Can I remind you of what I said last Sunday? That apparently the journey of humiliation was quite a long one for Mary. That into Jesus' adult life, society still accused her and Joseph, if not another man, of fornication. Her journey was a long one. You never one time find her wavering that God had given her his word and that she is gone with God. Humanly speaking, who won? Mary. When did people start coming around and believing Jesus was who he said he was? The resurrection. Right? Who was at the cross and who was at the tomb? Mary. I wonder if she said, I told you. I told you that was God. They knew God had raised people from the dead. They never met anybody that got themselves up. It took at a minimum, 33 and a half years for her testimony of her confidence in God to be vindicated. There's no indication she ever wavered.